Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number. Wait, what number is it again? Wait, I can't remember. Is it 200? Is it 200? I think it's 200. It's 200.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Episode number, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I can't believe it. I'm obviously excited. Episode number 200. Yes, we have finally reached 200. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, I honestly can't believe we're here. When I started Jazz Piano School six years ago, I never thought we would have produced 200 podcasts. And I feel extremely grateful and privileged to be able to bring everybody all this free jazz piano education through the podcast, and it's reached thousands and thousands of people, and I get comments every day coming into our support, and emails and people reaching out saying thank you for this amazing free resource. And I'm so grateful, you know, that I've been able to do this for everybody. And man, it's an amazing, amazing thing. So it's incredible. I feel very elated right now reaching this kind of milestone in the podcast. And there's a bunch of people who reach 100, but there's not many people that reach 200. And then 300, you know, forget about it, right? So this is incredible. Now, with the 200th podcast, I have a lot of important, exciting news to share with you. And before I get into that, I just want to say that we have created a very special gift for everybody, and that's going to be a collection of all of the podcast materials for all of the podcasts that we've done previously, like 0 through 200. Now, not every podcast has a practice material notation that goes with it, but a lot of them do, over 50%. So you're going to get over 100 different notated practice materials. Sometimes there's checklists, sometimes there's graphics, you know, like a hierarchy of how to practice. It's a lot of great stuff. You know, it's a compilation of all of those. So that's going to be in a PDF that we're giving away. And you get this one PDF. It's going to be all of our materials. You don't have to go searching back through the website. You don't have to completely look for all the different podcasts you want. You'll have them all there. So as you move through the podcasts and as you move through the different lessons, you'll have all of them right there for you. Okay. So I think that's an amazing thing. And I'm really excited about this. To get that PDF, all you have to do is go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast200. jazzpianoschool.com/podcast200. Okay. And we will email you that full document. Now, until we release another 200 podcasts, because we're not going to stop, right? That should serve as a huge resource for you going through all of our podcasts. And for people who aren't looking to take the next steps and enter or join our membership, right, to get access to our main course curriculum, our lab, and all our other goodies, I always recommend people to go through our podcast first. I mean, the wealth of information there is just, it's second to none, right? And you can make tremendous improvement, progress, gain knowledge through the podcast on its own. It's completely free. They're all lessons, right? The great thing is about, they're all lessons. Now, I've listened to lots of podcasts, and I do appreciate interviews, and I think there's definitely a place for interviews and doing that kind of thing, but I wanted the podcast to be more really specific and educational. Like, I wanted people to actually be able to implement things that we were teaching, you know, like it was almost paid information, which it is. I mean, it's not paid for, but like it's coming from everything that I teach inside of our membership, and it's completely free, right? So everything I teach inside the membership, a lot of it is in there, right? Now, the only thing missing from the podcast is kind of the structured curriculum path that we have inside. But besides that, you know, the information, again, is quality, you know, it's up there. So go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast200 and you can get that full collection of all of our practice materials for all of the podcast episodes that we've released up until this point. Now, to listen to them, you can go to iTunes, you can go to our website, which has all the videos, you can go to YouTube. And again, different parts in our journey in the podcast start at different times. So we didn't necessarily have videos up until like the 40th, 50th episode. So if you go to our YouTube channel, you can find lots of our podcast lessons on there. Up until those episodes, it was just audio teaching, and then I wanted to have video. So you can find different parts in different places. The best place to go is obviously our website. We have everything there. Go to jazzpianoschool.com and then go to podcasts under free education. You'll find all of our videos, all the audio, all the practice materials, which you'll have already because you're going to go get that PDF, right? And then you're ready to go. So that's that. Now, transferring to our very special guest. I've invited an amazing, young, talented, just already carving out his place in the jazz history world, which is absolutely fantastic at such a young age. His accomplishments just go on for like pages. What he's, won, gotten recognized for, and you know, just to name a few. Essentially, Emmett Cohen is going to be the pianist coming on to do a video analysis of one of his arrangements. And he posts a lot. He's really, really involved in social media. And he posted a Like Someone in Love arrangement on his Instagram. And so I thought it'd be great for him to do his own analysis of his particular arrangement and talk about different things. And I had the listeners email us questions, right, that they wanted to hear. I also kind of sprinkled some questions in. About that, you know, and so he's going to do an analysis on his video and kind of just do a lesson. He's going to do a lesson for all of us, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Now, one of the things that I really respect about Emmett and what he's doing is that he is right in the middle of doing this signature undertaking, which is called Master's Legacy Series. And this is kind of a celebratory set of recordings and interviews that are honoring legendary jazz musicians. And it's a great, great thing. And I mean, it's so awesome to see, I really felt aligned with Emmett in this particular way after seeing this, because he's wanting to share and continue the legacy of jazz education and jazz in general through honoring, you know, the people that have come before us. And I think that's a really, really amazing thing to do. And so essentially he's recording these albums with different people. He's doing interviews, and it's so cool. And I highly, highly recommend you check that out, because it's unbelievable. So 4 volumes of his Master's Legacy series have been released, and he's spotlighting collaborations with Jimmy Cobb, Ron Carter, Benny Golson, Tootie Heath, George Coleman. So besides that, right, Emmett serves as an international clinician through programs such as Lincoln Center, Jazz for Young People, and teaches all over. It's incredible. Himself, he is an alumni of Young Arts Foundation, and Cohen is now curates multi-disciplinary young arts programs nationally that include creative writing, theater, dance, visual arts, cinematography, music, voice, and jazz. Just a whole bunch of things, right? And it's absolutely incredible. And so Emmett went to Manhattan School of Music for his master's, and he has a bachelor's degree from Miami's Frost School of Music, both incredible, incredible schools. So clearly he is very, very well educated in the jazz world. Again, just to list some of his accomplishments and awards, he's the winner of the 2019 American Pianist Award and the Cole Porter Fellow of the American Pianist Association, and artist in residence at the University of Indianapolis. He placed first in both of the 2014 American Jazz Pianist Competition and the 2011 Phillips Piano Competition at the University of West Florida, as a finalist in the 2011 Thelonious Monk International Piano Competition. He was received in the Oval Office by President Obama. And again, it just continues all of the different accomplishments that he's had. So needless to say, this guy, he's doing things, okay? He is definitely doing things. and it's amazing. So to learn more about Emmett before we dive into his analysis video and his lesson, you want to go to emmettcohen.com. Now, Emmett, E-M-M-E-T, Cohen, C-O-H-E-N.com, emmettcohen.com. Now, I highly, highly recommend you get on his mailing list because he's been streaming live concerts every single week, which are really cool. And he does that through Facebook. And his email list is really, really rich and dense, filled with a lot of amazing things about what he's doing, his concerts, jazz education. And again, it's not kind of those boring emails that we get sometimes, but it's really, really awesome, well thought out email newsletter about what he's doing, jazz as a whole, jazz history. So I highly recommend you do that. To get on his email list, all you have to do is go to emmettcohen.com/contact. Let me make sure that's right. I just don't want to give the emmettcohen.com/contact. I'm just going to try this right now. Wow, I keep misspelling contact. I'm just double checking. I just want to double check. Yes, contact. Once you get there, you'll see a subscribe up at the top. And so, again, I highly recommend you subscribe. It's amazing stuff. His live streams are incredible. I mean, my girlfriend and I were eating dinner last night. We had his live stream going. He's super professional, playing amazing, amazing tunes with his trio. And it was like we were at a live club. We had some wine. We cooked a nice dinner. We were watching Emmett. It was a really, really cool experience. And there, you know, it's his playing is so well polished and elegant and refined. I just love it so much. So that's that. And I think I've covered everything. So I think Emmett and I are hopefully we're going to do a two-part series where I'll do an interview second. I wanted to do this video analysis first and have him. Now to see the video analysis, the link is kind of long, right? But go to our website and we'll have a link posted to the video, to his arrangement of Like Someone in Love. And it's really gorgeous. Lots of hints and flavors of Bill Evans, amazing arranging techniques, Barry Harris, a lot of other guys, Keith, and just beautiful, beautiful playing. So go to jazzpianoschool.com. Obviously, find the 200th podcast by going to the podcast area, and then we will have a link to the video so that you can watch the video and then listen to this lesson analysis and learn a whole bunch, right? So I think I've spoken enough, okay? With that being said, let's dive into this lesson with Emmett Cohen, the great Emmett Cohen. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. This is Emmett Cohen coming to you from Harlem. I just want to let you know that this video is in partnership with the Jazz Piano School, and this is their 200th podcast. So I'm honored to be a part of it, and I'm going to talk a little bit about an arrangement I did of Like Someone in Love. And it was conceived in this kind of manner. Visual on how I navigate the keyboard and the piano, but I wanted to answer some specific questions and talk about a few certain things, and one of those things is balance. When you play the piano, whether you're playing Bach or Chopin or classical music or jazz or anything really, balance is the most important thing. So if I have a melody note like this, maybe we'll start with the melody. Oops. a specific way, maybe with a little tilt, so that you can get the melody to shine out. One of my first piano teachers told me that God played a terrible prank on us and put our heaviest fingers in the middle, and so we have to counter that and balance that our whole lives. If we were to play the accompaniment louder, then the melody would sound like this. And you get a different sound when you really think about singing the melody out above. And I'm going to maybe play the melody with fingers 4 and 5, try to keep it legato, and also try to make it ring out and sing out. And part of that is the tilt of the hand. Answer is softer because it's a question and an answer. See, even on the big chords, we try to ring the melody note out. And balance has a ton to do with the kind of sound and the effectiveness of communicating a melody. And that goes hand in hand with touch in general. If you have kind of a light touch, but a full sound, and that includes pushing to the bottom of the keys. So if I didn't push to the bottom of the keys, it might sound like this. If I did push to the bottom of the keys, it'd sound like this. A little fuller. Ask about specific voicings. That's like an A7 chord over C sharp, going to A flat 1/3. So it's A7 first inversion, and then A flat major first inversion. Except for the melody. Yeah, that's the accompaniment. And so I'm really thinking about melody. And melodies are what make the world, what makes the world go round, especially in an arrangement that you're making at the piano. So if I say the melody, now I have a space to create another counter melody. My counter melody. What if I came up with a different one? That time it was. Maybe I could harmonize it. Just intense. That was if I harmonize it in closed voicings. Touch comes in if we're light here, and we sing that out on top, we can make it work. Oh, approach like that. Same thing here. Drop two kind of stuff. Drop Harris. This arrangement, and none of it was planned. This is just a something that I recorded and set up and just played from the heart. And a lot of times when you're playing from the heart, all the other stuff goes out the window, and all of a sudden you're just communicating with the language that you know. It's almost like when you're talking to someone who you're having a really intense conversation, but you don't really have to think about what you're saying. You just feel what you're saying. You feel the things, and they come out because you have the vocabulary. And that's similar to what this is like. So being able to play things in different keys, being able to explore, being able to dig yourself out of a hole if I'm playing some kind of moving thing, and I'm like, I'm not sure where this is going. Sometimes it's cool to even trick myself and try to figure that out on the spot. And that happens sometimes more in keys that I don't play as much in. And so, just want to talk about the reharms for a second. If we have, this is the melody note, bass note. So what can we do with those chords, bass and melody, and then fill them in? So, all right, we got A flat major here is probably the best choice, but we can also do like C over A flat. G in the bass and C in the melody. I like the C7 over G. You can also do minor. G minor 11. To F minor 7. We also have an F sharp in there. What if we wanted to utilize that? So that there I just put it in. F sharp 7 approach. And then I was going to use the E. So over the E chord, I kind of did a diminished sound. Over the E flat, I did an E flat minor 7 sound. Also known as C sharp diminished, to get to the C. So all of a sudden we use all of the bass notes down in chromatic, not just, I'm using all of them, so A flat, C over A flat, G minor 7, F sharp 7, F 7. Minor 13, excuse me. 11, 13. voices that move. The more you play, the more you get familiar with them. Other ways to get around E flat 7. Same chord there. I'm experimenting now. Octaves are a different sound. I want to take a couple of questions that we had over this. I did go way out in the transposition world, and I went to A. And then somehow got to E flat. And then I got to E. And then when I came back, I ended on a G diminished chord that was supposed to go here. But I was on the G diminished chord. And I took it to A flat over C. Kind of in the moment decision to come back to where I started. So there was another question with the time flowing. I think it was it's something I like to do is keep the voices and the motion kind of like water, kind of flowing. So filled in every eighth note, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and that allows you to kind of get this motion and this push and pull if that's something you desire, and that's something that really works solo piano. And I try to think of the left hand and the right hand as one giant hand. So what am I doing? How am I thinking compositionally in all the different textures? So am I creating a real dense sound? It's pretty open, but it's also a lot less dense than something like this. Hand right there, I was playing something like maybe Chopin would play, or Willie Lyon Smith, jazz pianist who really loved Chopin. And in the right hand, I was just concentrating on the melody. You can also do that in octaves. Finding ways to create counter melodies. It's all about the melodies you find in the different hands and the different ways they interact. And so, yeah, I'm going to look at a couple of other questions. Let's see. Yeah, so the mindset that I was in was I was just trying to use the vocabulary, just trying to play naturally. I was trying to play something that flowed and something that flowed from my heart, and to think of what the song means, to think of what the lyrics mean, to think of how all those things interact, and to really pull the sound out of the piano. I think those are the most important things. And then all of the other reharmonizations and stuff like that, those are just things that come with transcription. They come with sitting at the piano and spending time with it. I think when I went to A, I spent a few bars really just trying to figure it out and trying to see what kind of sounds interacted with the melody, trying to create some counter melodies. It doesn't really have to do as much with the individual harmonies and this and that. Those things will come. But I always like an overhead view of the piano when someone's playing, so I can say, what is that? So it's good to analyze it. It's good to check it out. It's good to slow it down. It's good to look at it at your own pace and look at it through your own lens and play it first. Say, I want to play exactly what that was, and then I want to analyze it later. Because playing it, it's almost like you learn to say the word before you write it down. You learn to use it in a conversation before you learn all the synonyms and before you decide that you're going to know the definition as it pertains to the Webster's Dictionary. You want to really have it in conversation and then be able to use it. And that's how we learn language when we first learn from our parents or whoever teaches us. And that's how I like to teach, and I like to understand jazz piano. So I hope that helps a little bit. I hope that's a good introductory lesson on all this stuff. Feel free to contact me if you have any further questions on Instagram, Hey Emmett, and maybe we'll do a part two of this sometime. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you to the Jazz Piano School for having me on the 200th podcast, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.